in marketing and in copywriting, we are often seduced by pretty words. And there's lots of great slogans out there that are really pretty words. And you put them on the headline of your website, and you put them on your package, and you go, oh, wow, you feel like you really did something with that. But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't match what somebody's, you know, looking for in terms of benefits. It's not empathetic. It's not talking in their language. It's not noticeable because it's not salient. And that, I think, is the biggest contrast, is that we often will play in the language of kind of pretty words and not actually put ourselves in the shoes of our audience and what they want and what language they're speaking.
Welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast, where driven women in business learn how to become more bold, brave, and unwaveringly confident. Feel empowered and challenged through inspiring stories and tell it like it is advice for business, life, and leadership.
Welcome or welcome back to the Bombshell Business Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Hurdle, and today we're going to be talking about marketing. Now, you know that I'm all things branding, public relations, marketing. And it's a lot more complicated than what we think. When we're going to market with a new product, when we start a business, when we realize, okay, now I have to start marketing because all of my lead generation through referrals and stuff is kind of getting a little stale. So now I need to go gain new market share. And we think like, oh, it's no big deal. And then we get into this big mess of options. And what do we say? And what channels do we use? And all that good stuff. So today's guest is going to help us simplify things. And I want to tell you a little more about him. Ben Gutman is a marketing and communications expert and author of Simply Put, Why Clear Messages Win and How to Design Them. Ben is a former co-founder and partner at Digital Natives Group, an award-winning agency that worked with, you know, little brands like the NFL, I Love New York, The Nature Conservancy, and other major clients. Currently, Ben teaches digital marketing at Baruch College and consults with a range of clients. Ben, mutual friend of also a Bombshell Business Podcast guest and our mutual friend, Alexandra Watkins, who, you know, the chick that named the Baconator. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Amber. It's great to be here.
I'm really excited about diving in and really talking about your book. Not that we're trying to overpromote it, but my listeners are readers and this is going to be a good read. So can you just tell me, why did you focus, of all the things that you could talk about from a marketing perspective, why did you put the focus on clear messaging?
Well, I think that if you get the messaging right, everything else is so much easier, right? And I was talking to somebody actually earlier today about this, is that messaging and positioning and branding and all these pieces, Oftentimes, if you're in the act of doing it, like putting this work together and figuring out the right words and tone of your brand, it can feel in the moment like you're not really making much progress. But if you get your direction right, if you get your heading right there, every other thing that you do, if that is social media, if that's your email, if that's your website, becomes so much easier.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. When we work on brand guides, people think, oh, okay, well, can you help us pick out our fonts and our colors? And I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing. We're going to talk about your messaging, about your tone of voice, about the personality of your brand. But I don't do marketing for a living. So when I set a brand tone and an overall message, then what happens when the marketing person on the team then takes that? Like, where do they go from there? And how do they further clarify as they're, because let me back up a bit. Marketing is like tending to a garden. You don't just go like, here it is.
No.
Bye. How does your marketing person on your team, whether it's you or you have a social media person, how do they continue to refine that clarity once they get going?
Yeah. And oftentimes when I used to work in my agency on branding pieces, we would say, this is kind of the beginning and it is important to do it now. However, once you hit the road on this, things are going to probably change a little bit. So it is often useful to kind of come back to it, set a time at some point, if it's a month, 3 months, 6 months down the road, come back to it a little bit and just make sure that, you know, if you have to tweak something here or there, turn the knob, you know, this direction or that direction, that you have the opportunity to do that. There's a Mike Tyson quote, which I love, which is, you know, everybody has a plan until I punch them in the face. Right? And that's kind of it with a lot of marketing, a lot of business stuff. You have to be kind of nimble on your feet a little bit. It's important to get your direction right, as we were just talking about. But it's also important that you don't just do it, stick it on a shelf and forget about it. It has to be a little bit of a living document in that process.
I so agree with you. Oh my gosh. I'm like, this is your Bible, the living, breathing word of your business, the living, breathing word. It can be interpreted different ways. Do not take this document at face value and leave it there. Like it's meant to be applied in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I want to take a big step back. Yeah, I have so many questions going off. I'm like, I've got this great expert here. I have all the questions. But the first one is, where do we begin? I'm a business owner, or I'm in charge of marketing at the company that I work for. You're telling me clear messages when. How do I design them? Where do I begin?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll kind of go to the why, actually, even before that, which is why the clear messages? Why it, is this important to be simple? And it comes down to this idea of fluency. So we know the word fluency from our daily life, right? You can be fluent in English or Spanish or Mandarin. You can be fluent in cheese or wine. Like if you're fluent in whatever something is easy, it's fluent, right? When the Latin root of the word is flowing, actually, and that's kind of what it feels, right? It just kind of goes. But if you ask a cognitive scientist about the word fluency, they're going to use that to describe, well, how easy is it for you to take something from out in the world, stick it in your head, and make sense of it, right? How, if it takes a lot of work to do that, if it takes you a lot of sweat, you have to figure something out, and your brain is, you know, working overtime on it, that's less fluent. And if it's more fluent, well, that's easier to kind of perceive, understand, and act upon. We're predisposed to like it, trust it, and buy it, right? All the things that you want from a message. When something is fluent, as humans, as receivers of messaging, we want things that are fluent. And the opposite is also true. When something is complicated, when something takes a lot of work and it's hard for us to perceive, well, we don't like it, we don't trust it, we don't buy it. All the things that we don't want.
Right.
So that's what we want to get to. And the problem is, well, when we're in the role of a sender, if we are a brand, a marketer, you know, an executive, an entrepreneur, we are often pulled in the opposite direction. We're pulled towards complicated. Because in our heads, we're dealing with things like an additive bias, right? We're more likely to add than subtract. We're more likely to seek complex solutions to things than simple solutions a lot of times. That's some of the stuff going on internally. But externally, we're also being pushed by all sorts of forces in that direction too, right? You know, you don't get an award for not doing something, right? You only get a press release for doing something. You only get promoted because you had the extra line in your resume. You only get credit for something because it was on the website or whatever it is. And so we have these internal, external forces that pull us in the direction of complicated. And then the result is this chasm, right? Where we have people want things to be simple on the receiving end, but we're senders, we are predisposed to making things complicated. And that's what I try to address in the book, is how do we bridge that gap?
Yeah. And I am a career communicator. I'm an author. I'm like, that's what I do. I have a podcast. I'm a professional speaker. I speak and communicate for a living. And yet I still overcomplicate messaging, because as business owners, we're like, they need to know this, but we're also going to do this. And like, they need to know, but they don't, because that's not the hook. Like, they don't care about all that stuff until they care about you punching them in the face with a solution to their problem. So if I'm sitting here with my team, we have Employer Brand Central. It's a year old. We are rolling out a subscription model for that. And I've really struggled on how to put this in a box of clarity of all these things that we're doing, because it is complex behind the scenes and there are a lot of layers. And we finally got to the point where we realized it's people problem solved. That's what we do. If that interests you, then here's the door to walk through to find out all the information. But like, I couldn't get it down to just that little thing for over a year. So how do we take all of the things and all the shiny stuff we're so proud of that we've made, and then put it in a way that a consumer can grasp what we're trying to sell or what they could possibly buy?
And that's a great example, because we are so much more interested in our own stuff than anybody else's, right? We care so much more about our own company and our own branding and our own advertising than anybody on the receiving end gives a hoot. They don't care about that. So how do we bridge that gap then? How do we kind of get from here to there? Well, I've identified in the book five different design principles, and I looked at the science behind it, the history behind it. And so I identify these kind of five principles that you can use to bridge that gap. And it's not a step-by-step plan. It's not a checklist. It's kind of the framework, design ideas to help us move the sender side closer to where the receivers want to be. So the first one is beneficial. What does it matter to the receiver? Are you talking about kind of features versus benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second one is focused. Are you trying to say one thing, or is it trying to say multiple things at once? Is it one idea, or is it like three ideas in a trench coat? The third one, visual. Yeah, the third one is salient. You know, does your message stand out from the noise? Is it noticeable? Does it contrast with the rest of the environment? The fourth one is empathetic. Mm. Are you speaking in a language that the audience understands? Are you meeting them where they are in terms of language itself, but also their motivations, their emotions, you know, all of that? And then lastly, it's minimal. Have you cut out everything you don't need and left only what is important?
Mm.
And are you focusing on what's there? And I lied a little bit about it being kind of in order, because minimal is at the end intentionally, because it's hard to know really, well, what do you need and what can you cut, unless you're going through these other pieces.
Yeah, I have a friend who talks about you need to be a sculptor, not a painter. Stop adding brush strokes, taking away to get it into the shape that makes it the art that it is. And I do want to put a little pause here, and my audience is going to be like, what is Amber doing? She has never talked about a product that is not her own on this podcast. But you said something here that really kind of sparked me. I'm like, this is where we're going to talk about it. You said focus. Saying one thing, or are we saying multiple things? And part of the problem that a lot of entrepreneurs have, and especially my Bombshell listeners have, is we do lose focus. Most of us, and I'm saying this like sincerely, I've been doing this for 7 years. Most of us who are listening to this podcast have ADD, ADHD. Maybe we're somewhere on the spectrum. I know that Asperger's isn't necessarily a term anymore, but it is something that a lot of my listeners have been diagnosed with. And so I'm very open about the fact that I have ADD. It's very easy for me to lose focus. So bear with me, because I want to introduce you to something. I started using it about a year ago, and it's called Magic Mind. I was very close to getting on stimulants again, Adderall, whatever that stuff is. I've done it before. If you do it, I'm not judging you. My nervous system can't handle it. I also have some other medical things with my heart where I don't need to basically be doing speed all day to stay focused. And so this particular product is called Magic Mind. It's do more, stress less. It's subtly sweet, and it boosts energy and focus. You can crush procrastination and elevate mental clarity. And it's got 12 ingredients that are all natural. So I just shoot this, and I know that people are like, oh, Amber can eat grass. Well, I can, but I want to show you another way of doing it. So I have some sparkly water here, some LaCroix. I've got a nice little orange wedge. I'm just going to mix this in here, and I'm going to add this. And now I have a little mocktail to keep me company while I'm working. And I'll tell you, I'm enjoying this. It is like a zen zone where everything just kind of goes shh. And I'm not hyped up. I'm not like, grr. I'm not crazy with my team. I'm just relaxing into this different experience. And y'all, I've done a lot of different pills. I've done a lot of different things that don't work. And I'm like, well, that was nice. Or, you know, take these mushrooms or whatever. And I'm not more focused. This is the only thing that I have found that really gives me the focus that I need. And so when we're talking about marketing and we're talking about things that are hard and we want to do anything other than the hard thing in front of us, I am going to recommend Magic Mind for you. You can buy it for 20% off of one-time purchase or 56% off for a subscription if you use the code Bombshell20. You can go to magicmind.com/bombshell or go to our show notes, amberhurdle.com/podcast with an S, and you can find the link there. Okay, you're going to be drinking this stuff soon, because I'm going to be talking about it for the next few episodes, just to let you know. So let's go back to beneficial, focused, salient, empathetic, and minimal. So now that we're at the carving section and we have our focus right and we're not all over the place or dodging work and procrastinating, tell us, how do you cut away? How do you know what needs to be carved away from the sculpture?
Yeah. And so it's hard to do that, again, unless you looked at some of those other ones, right? But one little like tiny tool to throw out there is about kind of playing Jenga with your message a little bit. Mm-hmm. So can you pull out, you know, just like the game of the blocks and the tumbling tower, can you pull out individual pieces? You pull out words, sentences, paragraphs, and does it still make sense? Does it still get across your point? And so the more you're able to do that, eventually you're going to get to a point where you pull out that last word or that last sentence and it doesn't make sense anymore, right? The tower collapses, context collapses, and you don't understand it. And if you just go one step back from that and you look at what you had there, that was the kind of minimum viable message, right? That was the smallest thing that would communicate what you want to say. That doesn't mean that that is the best message, but that just means that that's the starting point that you have to go from. And so understand where, you know, you can't cut anymore puts you in a much better position to, you know, improve that than it is to start at kind of the big top level, you know, bulky message you might have in your email or whatever and go back and go down from there. And one thing I just want to say also about minimal that's important is that we're not actually optimizing for the fewest number of words or sentences or pages or slides or whatever the metric is. We are optimizing for the least amount of friction, because that goes back to the fluency, right? We want to have the least amount of friction. And sometimes that means it's a slightly longer email or a slightly longer web page, or there's more headlines or there's more bullets or whatever it is. The least amount of friction is going to get people to go where you want them to go, right? And we know this as a designer. If you're, you know, building an e-commerce website, you see this all the time, right? If it's really easy to buy something, you're going to go do it. If you have to jump through a few hoops, you're less likely to go and complete that transaction. And that same model applies.
Ben, I wanted to buy my team, and I won't say who it was because I don't want to disparage anyone. It's a great company. They do great things. And we are a professional development company. And so obviously that's what I wanted to get my team for Christmas, like a subscription to be able to learn whatever they wanted to learn. If I was a regular consumer, I would have been able to get a 2-for-1 deal. It was very clear what the terms were. The marketing was on point, but I was like, well, I want to get one for the business. So I'm going to go down this path. Mm-hmm. And then I got in there and it was friction. And so I was like, okay, I need help. Oh, but we don't have support for business right now around the holidays, only for individuals. And I'm like, well why did, huh? Every step along the way was friction. And so I eventually, even trying to get a refund. So my team got the Calm app as their gift. And it's great. And we love Calm. And if you don't use Calm, I highly recommend it. They're very clear. They're very concise. They tell you what you're going to get out of it. This company, I finally had to go to American Express Platinum and be like, I'm protesting this charge. And then it was like, we're so sorry. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, peace be with you. You go do your thing. I'm just done with you. Thank you. That amount of friction now has left a sour taste in my mouth, and I'll probably never do business with that company again. Mm-hmm. So I love that you used that word. And that's the stumbling block in marketing. Before you even get to the customer experience, lack of clarity. What is your like number one tip for reducing friction other than the minimal? We know we need to do that.
Well, I would kind of go back to the top piece there. We talk about beneficial, right? And this is the thing that if you've ever worked in sales or you work in marketing, you're going to learn kind of like day one that people don't buy features, they buy benefits, right?
Right.
They don't buy the thing, they buy what the thing does for them.
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me, right? There's a quote by Theodore Levitt, who's a professor from Harvard from the 60s. He said, people don't want a quarter-inch drill. They want a quarter-inch hole, right? I don't want the drill. I want the hole. I want what the thing does for me. I want how my life is better because of it. And so across all sorts of different avenues, when we look at what it is that we remember, what it is that we notice, what it is that we act upon, it's stuff that benefits us. It's stuff that fits in with our existing motivations. What are we motivated to do? And you can go, you know, all the way down to kind of like the Maslow stuff. But when it fits in with somebody's life, people are willing to pay attention, people are willing to part with their money. And that is the most important thing you can do in marketing, is to make sure that you're always talking about what's in it for the consumer, for the customer. How is their life better because of it? What problem do they have that you're solving? It's kind of like the 101 stuff in marketing, but it is also the thing that is, I think, the fastest forgotten in marketing, is that because we get so in our heads about like, well, what's this like social media post and what the hashtag I'm using, that we forget about all that matters is features versus benefits, is that we buy benefits, we don't buy features.
I love it. The one example that I love to use, I mean, back in the day, some of our younger listeners won't even remember this, but when Apple rolled out the iPod, y'all, you used to have this device that could not make a phone call, but it could do all the other things on your phone. And they came out and they didn't say like, oh, it's like, here's all the gigabytes and the store. And like, they didn't do any of that. They didn't give all the tech specs and try to sell us something. They said, it's 1,000 songs in your pocket. Would you like one? And we're all like, I don't have to use a CD changer anymore in the trunk of my car and at a red light go out and change what CD I want to listen to. And like, I don't have to keep up with CDs and a book of CDs. Like, it's just in my pocket. Heck yeah, I want one of those. I don't care how much it costs. And we all paid like $1,200 for this thing that we didn't even know how it worked. We're like, what's an MP3? What's it? You know, like, we had no clue what was going on behind the scenes. We just were clear on the fact that I wanted 1,000 songs in my pocket.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I have that in my book. That is like my number one example for like what has been a successful marketing campaign when you talk about benefits. Because that's, if you look around the same time, Microsoft was introducing Zune. You know, they saw Apple was killing it with their MP3 player market. They said, we got to do one. So they introduced the Zune. That this thing careened from market to market, product, and never really caught on. One of the slogans they used for a while was music the way it wants to be. Music the way it wants to be. What does that mean?
I don't care what the music wants. I care what I want.
Exactly, right? Like, that doesn't talk to me about anything I get out of this. That's an example of what I like to say is like pretty words, right? It's in marketing and in copywriting, we are often seduced by pretty words. And there's lots of great slogans out there that are really pretty words. And you put them on the headline of your website and you put them on your package and you go, oh, you feel like you really did something with that. But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't match what somebody's, you know, looking for in terms of benefits. It's not empathetic. It's not talking in their language. It's not noticeable because it's not salient. And that, I think, is the biggest contrast, is that we often will play in the language of kind of pretty words and not actually put ourselves in the shoes of our audience and what they want and what language they're speaking.
Yeah, I didn't even know that about Microsoft, how sad. And then when you're describing all of that and the outcomes, then my mind goes to Jay-Z and Tidal. And now if you look up Tidal, it says Tidal is an artist-first, fan-centered music streaming platform. But it failed spectacularly at first because they were like, our cuts, we did our music, blah, blah, blah. And the listeners were like, iTunes has it all right there. You can pull your stuff off. I still have your old music. It's fine. Like, what are you, like, it was wild. And off that, the empathy was missing. It was like, you should be concerned about a bunch of millionaires not making their cut. Like, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a daughter of a musician, so I certainly want them to, but like, not the best marketing message. So we've kind of skipped all over because of my enthusiasm here. We've talked about minimal. We went all the way back to beneficial, the what's in it for me. We've talked a little bit about staying focused. Can we talk a little bit about being salient and standing out from the noise? That's so hard. And when I ask somebody, well, how do you do it differently? They still give me this baked chicken, vanilla ice cream reason. And I'm like, I can literally say that about three other clients I've had, like immediately off the bat. So yeah, how do you step back?
Oh, that's, so yeah, you get that a lot where it's like, we're customer centric and, you know, and actually when you mentioned the Tidal one, I felt like that was very not salient too, because who's not going to say that, right? That sounds like everybody's like first instinct to say about their product is to say, we're revolutionary, we're innovative, you know, we're
changing patterns,
disruptive solutions to multi-dimensional problems. And like, it's just, that's just noise, right? That's just noise that goes out there. And so salience is, do we notice something? Is it just rise to your attention? And that's important because we really only notice things that are different. We only notice contrast. We don't notice things that we expect in an environment always, we don't notice things that are kind of blurry or kind of fade into the environment or don't have any contrast. We only notice the difference between figure and ground. That is just kind of how our brains work. And if you extrapolate that to messaging, well, the average American spends 13 hours a day consuming some form of media. That's a lot of messages you're getting, right? That's thousands and thousands of different things that are, you know, some stuff you seek out, some stuff that's being, you know, blasted at you. And how do you stand out in that crowd? I argue that the best way to do it is by imposing constraints that other people don't play by, right? If you want something different than everybody else, follow rules that are going to be different than everybody else. And so we often think, oh, constraints, that's going to not allow us to do all the stuff we want to do. But if you put these limits on your time, on your space, on your tools, or any kind of combination of them, you start to get pressed into this interesting kind of creative groove, you know, where, or out of your creative grooves rather, right? You get put into a space where your things are going to be a little bit different. All of a sudden you can't, you know, you have to do it in black and white, right? Or you can't use the letter E or something like that. It starts to kind of shake you a little bit and make you do different stuff, which then ultimately becomes more noticeable because it is different than what everybody else is doing.
I love this. I'm like nervously getting to the end of the episode and being like, okay, we're going to have it back on because there's more to talk about. And I want to tell everybody before you even get there, and I'll tell you how you can download a free chapter and all that kind of stuff. But we're recording, it's mid-January. We're coming off the heels of holiday travel, me having a grandbaby, my daughter being in labor for 5 days. I could go on. And so I am admitting out loud that I did not have a chance yet to read this gentleman's book, even though I was super excited about it. I have Alexandra sitting on my dining room table and I flip through it all the time, on my coffee table. I want to do this. I'm going to download your book. And then I would love to invite you back with all of my extra questions. Is that fair?
I would love to be back. This has been a ton of fun.
And what I like, Bombshell, about Ben's approach is, if you've heard him, it's not his opinion. It's not like, oh, in my experience, because there's lots of different experiences. I like, because I'm a nerd and a geek, I like when things are based on science and psychology and proven principles. And even just the fact that you use like the term contrast, that's really powerful to me. That's something that I want to look at constantly. So your ability to pull that out and the way that you communicate all of this is really exceptional. So before we close out and I tell all the different ways we can find you on the interwebs and your book and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask every single guest. And that is, no matter the topic, whether it's marketing, life, business, psychology, mindset, whatever, what is your parting piece of advice for a bombshell businesswoman, a bold, brave, unwaveringly confident woman who doesn't necessarily not fall down? She just gets back up and goes again.
I would love to come back. This has been a ton of fun. You mentioned Alexandra's book. I'll just give another vouch. She's awesome. Her book is awesome. I read her book before I ever met her. And it was, you know, I used it in my work when I ran my agency as well. So excellent, excellent stuff. So my piece of advice, and it's a quote that I love that I heard once a few years ago, and I have since kind of just like, you know, branded it into my brain. It goes, a ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for, right? A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. And it's by John Shedd, who's an author. And the idea is, there's lots of easy things, right? It's very easy to do easy things. Very easy to kind of, you know, stay in, you know, in a job that you don't like, or relationship or place or whatever it is. It's very easy to not take a risk and start a business. It's very easy to not start a podcast or write a book or whatever it is that you want to do. But like, that's not what we're here for, right? Like that's not why we build ships. And I try to, you know, remind myself of that at every opportunity.
I love that. And that's I haven't heard that quote in a few years. And it's one that it really resonated with me as well. Actually, it used to be my friend's on his homepage of his website. So beautiful. And I think that's the bombshell way, right? Bold, brave, unwaveringly confident is we're gonna leave our little cove, our little harbor, and we're gonna go out to the big bad ocean and we're gonna go find what it is that we're looking for out there. So I love that. Now, if we can go to download the first chapter of your book to get a little snack before you go for the full course, it's Ben Guttmann, but it's G-U-T-T-M-A-N-N. So double T double N.com. /simply-put-book. That will be in the show notes, amberhurdle.com/podcast. Look for Ben's episode and you will find it there. Awesome. You're also on LinkedIn, right? Okay. Yep. So that's the number one way to get a hold of you. And then, you know, I'm not about email spam. You guys know what I send you. I'm not trying to, like, you know, just stay in your face all the time. I'm going to get on Ben's newsletter because I think I like how he processes marketing and he simplifies it, which is nice in this crazy world of you got to be on TikTok, blah, 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 blah. What are they going to find in your newsletter if they subscribe at bengutman.com/newsletter?
I appreciate that. Yeah. And all this stuff, if you don't remember the slashes, just go to bengutman.com and you'll get with it. But yeah, I try to appropriately kind of keep my own like content stuff simple. So I write a blog post every week. I send an email every Tuesday, and then I post on LinkedIn sometimes, right? And that's about it. So in the email, I call it 3 simple things, and it's effectively what's on the tin, right? So I send out an article that I wrote, something from me. It could be a podcast, could be an article, it could be something else. And then it's something from somebody else. So an article, video, podcast, whatever it is, there's something I found interesting, and then an idea. And this could be a quote or a statistic or a lesson or something that I found interesting.
I love that. And I'm looking forward to getting that. So you can go to bengutman.com and get everything there. You could go to amberhurdle.com/podcast and get all the show notes there. And we'll also include Alexandra's book, Eat My Words, if you have Eat My Words. And then you also have Ben's book, Simply Put. Then we will have a nice little cornucopia of wisdom from 2 wicked smart marketers. Any final thoughts, Ben, before we part ways?
I thank you so much for having me on, Amber. It's been a ton of fun. And again, if this has been useful to anybody, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email, get it to me on LinkedIn. You know, happy to help with anything.
I love that. And I love when our guests are that. Listen, you just got an invite. Okay. So if you have a question or a thought or even just feedback, y'all, it's so hard to write a book. It is so hard. Did anybody tell you to schedule a nervous breakdown in the middle of it? Because they failed to tell me to do that. Didn't have it in the calendar. Reach out to Ben, learn from Ben, buy his book. I'm going to. Don't forget about Magic Mind. We love that as well. It's really going to help me with my goals in 2024, being on a subscription for that. And, you know, very importantly, we don't have like a Facebook group or anything like that because we're all busy women. We have and men. We don't have a lot of time. The way that we create community in the Bombshell world with the Bombshell Squad is we forward something. When we know somebody needs this marketing piece of advice, we forward the episode to them. We share it on social media. If you would leave a rating and review, that helps Apple or iTunes or any of the podcast listening apps that you use. It helps put us when they're looking, when they're searching. It helps trick the little data gods behind the scenes of the algorithms and everything to ensure that this gets put in front of women who are looking for this kind of information. So that's how you can participate. Thank you so much for your listenership. I treasure you. Again, none of this is easy, but I'm compelled to do it because of how you use the information and because I know that your businesses and your lives change because of the brilliant guests we have like Ben. So thank you so much, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Bombshell Business Podcast. Visit amberhurdle.com for more resources like show notes, and check out thebombshellbusinesswoman.com to grab my book and download the free bonuses.